Let me ask you a question. Does God want his people to rejoice?
Yeah. Amen.
I believe without a doubt, God wants us to be a people who rejoice in him with all of our heart and all of our strength. The first time we ever see the word rejoice in the Torah is in the book of Exodus, chapter 18, verse 9. And it says that Jethro, I'm not talking about Jethro Bodine, Jethro Tall, Jethro and the father-in-law of Moshe said, it says here, Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness that Adonai had shown to Israel since he had delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians. So Jethro rejoiced. As we look out the scripture, we see that God uses that word rejoice more than 250 times in the scriptures. I want you to listen to a few examples about rejoicing. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "There you and your households will eat before Adonai your God and rejoice in every undertaking of your hand as Adonai your God has blessed you." In the book of Psalms, verse chapter 20, verse 5, it says that we will rejoice in your salvation and in the name of our God will we set up our banners. May Adonai fulfill all your petitions. In Psalm 31 or 33, verse 1, it says that we are to rejoice in Adonai, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Psalm 105, verse 3 says, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek Adonai rejoice. And in Philippians, in the Brit Chadashah, chapter 4, verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Today, I want to look at Psalm 100. So you can turn there in your scriptures to Psalm 100. God surely wants his people to rejoice. God seriously wants you to rejoice. So in Psalm 100, God gives us some great requirements, some great reasons why we are to rejoice. The first requirement in verse 1 of Psalm 100 is to shout for joy. It says, shout for joy to Adonai, all the earth. And that word shout, or noise, is an interesting word. The original word picture is to break or to split something. So here it's talking about making an ear-splitting noise, a shout to the Lord. It's the same word that we see when Joshua surrounded Jericho. As it says in chapter 6, verse 16 and verse 20, it says the seventh time, when the Kohanim, the priesthood, blew on their shofars, Joshua said to the people, shout, because Adonai has given you the city. So all the people shouted with the shofars blowing. And when the people heard the sound of the shofars, the people let out a great shout. And the wall fell flat down flat, so that the people went up into the city, each one straight ahead of him, and they captured the city. Have you ever just shouted for joy? We need to be a people not afraid to shout for joy. Now, some of us who are Cubs fans or previous Cubs fans, I remember growing up as a little boy living in Chicago, always hoping, always praying, come on, Cubs, you can do it. And year after year, I'd be disappointed. But then they win the World Series, and everyone shouts for joy. And now we're in the football season. the playoffs are going on, and the Super Bowl is coming, and everyone shouts for their favorite team for that game-winning touchdown. But you know, there are some people who believe you shouldn't shout in the synagogue. No, you're to be quiet like little synagogue mice. But I don't believe that. Not at all. When we think of the awesomeness of God, thank you, Lord. When we think of the awesomeness of God and all that God has done for us, that's a reason for us to shout for joy, isn't it? That's a great reason. You guys are ahead of me here. God says to make a joyful shout to the Lord. But that's good. So as Joshua did at Jericho, let's all stand. Let's all stand. Come on, stand to your feet. Come on, Raymond, you can do it. Everyone, stand to your feet. And I want you to give a great shout of praise to the Lord. Are you ready? You ready?
Yes.
Hallelujah! Yes. Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Praise you, Lord! Praise you, Lord! Praise you, Lord! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! Praise you, Lord! Hallelujah! Can you imagine those walls of Jericho just falling flat as the people shouted for joy? God brought that miracle. And God will do the same for us. Psalm 100 verse 2 says that we should serve Adonai with gladness, that we are to enter His presence with joyful songs. And we have been doing that, entering His presence with joyful songs. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, tells the believers that they are not to grow weary in doing good. But sometimes we do. We grow weary. We get tired. But don't give in to that. Don't give in to that. Fight it. Fight it. Trust God to renew your strength so that you can serve the Lord with gladness, so you can shout to the Lord with all your strength, with gladness and wholesomeness of heart. In the early 2000s, that's like 16 years ago, 15, Martin and Gracia Burnham were American missionaries. They were serving in the Philippines. And on May 27th, 2001, Martin and Gracia were kidnapped by Islamic terrorists. At the time, they were visiting a resort. They were celebrating. Or at the time, they were visiting a resort celebrating their 18th wedding anniversary. Of course, we know that Donnie and Linda are going to be celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. And as you see on your calendar, Linda, I'm going to give you a little plug here. On Saturday, February 11th at 2:30, we're having a renewal ceremony here with the chuppah. And they're going to renew their vows, and we're going to have a wonderful time. And we're going to have some cake and punch. And anyway, we're going to have a wonderful time. But Martin and Gracia, they were celebrating their 18th wedding anniversary when they were kidnapped by these Islamic terrorists in the Philippines. And hoping for ransom money, the terrorists held this couple for more than a year. Then on June 7th, 2002, more than a year later, a Philippine army unit moved in to rescue all the hostages. Martin was killed by a stray bullet, and Gracia was wounded. And at Martin's memorial service, it was reported that the last thing that this couple did before the raid was that they prayed together. And this is what Martin told his wife. We may not leave this jungle alive, but at least we can leave this world serving the Lord with gladness. And you and I, we can serve the Lord right here and now with gladness. With gladness. Surely we can also serve the Lord with gladness where we are. God's word tells us to serve Him with joy. In verse 2, it also says that we are to enter His presence with joyful songs. God wants us to come before His presence overflowing with joy as we sing praises to Him, as we worship Him. Yes, there's a place in worship for our emotions. But we can't leave out the joy. Joy has to be a big part of our praise and our worship to the Lord. God wants to see that obvious joy as we come before Him and singing and praising Him and dancing and worship Him. God wants to see that joy. In the same psalm, in verse 4 of Psalm 100, God's requirement is to joyfully step closer to the Lord. It says that we are to enter His gates with thanksgiving, and we are to enter His courtyards with praise. We are to give thanks to Him, and we are to bless His name. When there was a temple 2,000 years ago in Israel, in Jerusalem, there was a court for the Gentiles. There was a court for the women. There was a court area for the men. And each court got closer and closer to the Holy of Holies. Each court closer to the Lord. But there was only so far that you could go as a Gentile. There was only so far that you could go as a woman. There was only so far that you could go as a man. And even as a Kohen Gadol, even as a high priest, there was only so far that you could go. And then only once a year could the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, enter the Holy of Holies. But all those barriers were broken down when Yeshua died on that tree. All those barriers of separation. God even tore open that curtain that resided, that parochet, in front of the Holy of Holies to show us now that we have access to Him through that precious blood of Yeshua, the Messiah. But God wants us to seek His face. God wants us to get closer to Him. God wants us to overflow with joy. And the closer that we get to God, the more joy that we should be showing. And as we get to know God more and more and get to be closer and closer with Him, the joy should be more obvious and overflowing in our life. Thank you, Lord. These are God's great requirements for us to rejoice. We are to shout with joy. We are to serve with joy, sing with joy, and step closer to Adonai with joy. To sum it up in another way, rejoice with your lips, rejoice with all your heart, rejoice with all your life, rejoice with your hands, rejoice with your feet, rejoice in the Lord. Let everything breath. I'm trying to catch my breath here. There. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, rejoice in the Lord. That's God's requirement for rejoicing, that it's our entire being. But let me tell you, if your level or your joy level is low today, God also gives us some great reasons to rejoice. There are some great reasons to rejoice. Rejoice over the fact that God created you. In Psalm 100, verse 3, we read, "Be aware that Adonai is God. It is He who has made us. He made us. He made you. And we are His. We are God's special possession. We are the flock of His pasture." Rejoice in that. Rejoice over your creation by God. He didn't have to create you. You didn't have to be born. But God loved you. He brought you into this world, and He wants you to rejoice. Think about the awesomeness of God's ability to create also the whole universe with just a few words. The vast reaches of the universe are nothing to God. In the Navigator's daily walk, it once gave a perspective based on Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. And it said, "The oceans of the world contain more than 340 quintillion gallons of water. Yet God holds them in the hollow of His hand." Wow. "The earth weighs 6 sextillion metric tons. Yet to God, all that is like dust on the scales. The known universe stretches more than 90 billion light years, but God measures it by the width of His hand. Scientists claim that there are at least 100 billion galaxies in the universe, and each galaxy is made up of over 100 billion stars. But Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26 tells us that God calls each star by name. What an awesome God. God is big enough to take care of His universe, and He's big enough to take care of you and me. He's an amazing God. That's a reason to rejoice. Thank you, Lord. Sam Caffey became a Southern Baptist evangelist in 1967. Of course, I was only 1 year old. Okay. That first year, he had to rush back from a revival, one of his first revivals as an evangelist, because his daughter had gone to the hospital with an acute appendicitis. They thought it might have ruptured. And Sam got on a plane in Los Angeles about 2:30 a.m. in the morning, headed home to Detroit. He was overwhelmed with doubts and fears, even though he just got out of seminary. He's an evangelist now. Still, he was overwhelmed with doubts and fears, and that happens a lot with our own children, people we love. Bob, you just mentioned that yourself about Laura. Sam's seat was right behind the first class. And he could see through the curtain that there was no one in first class at all. So he asked the stewardess if he could go up there and get some rest. But she said no. She turned him down because it was against the rules. And they didn't have a stewardess up there in first class. But just as she walked away, another stewardess walked through those curtains. This one invited him to come up to the very front and to sit with her. She brought him a sandwich, some olives, some chips, and for my wife here, a Coke. Then they sat facing one another, and then she began to talk. She went on and on about the Lord, about Scripture, about God's mercy and God's grace. She talked to Sam, the Baptist evangelist, about God's sovereignty and His love and His care and His protection. And Sam just listened, never ever mentioning the problem with his sick daughter, Nola. When they passed over Chicago, she stood and said, "See all those lights down there? Put your hands like so." And he put his hands. And Sam then cupped his hands. Then she held them out and said, "See, from way up here, it looks like you could cover up the whole city of Chicago, doesn't it? And Sam agreed. Now cup them like this. And Sam didn't. She said, from up here, it looks like you've got the whole city of Chicago in your hands, doesn't it? And again, he agreed. Then she put her hand on his shoulder and said, man of God, Nola will be all right. She wheeled around and went through the curtains into coach. Sam never saw her again. In fact, Sam didn't even mention Nola, his daughter, or the name. Sam never saw her again. And the first stewardess thought that he had been dreaming until he showed her the leftover food in first class. And when he got off the plane, his wife was grinning ear to ear. The hospital had just called. Nola's fever had broken. She was perfectly well. God wanted Sam to see that he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. God is big enough to take care of his universe, and God is big enough to take care of you. Rejoice, rejoice over our creation by God. Again, in verse 3 of Psalm 100, it says, be aware that Adonai, the Lord, is God. It is He who made us. We are His people, the flock in His pasture. Here we see God in relationship with His people. God is wanting us to connect with His people and to know Him and His redemption that we have in Yeshua the Messiah. This phrase, be aware or know, be aware that He is God or know that He is God. I originally learned it, know He is God. It's not just head knowledge. Beyond head knowledge, it's heart knowledge in the heart. Knowing the Lord in a close and a personal way, that's what we need to do. The word know is the same word that's used in the Torah to describe the oneness and the relationship between man and woman, the husband and wife. The two became one, Basar Echad, one flesh. And God uses this word to point us to spiritual oneness that we can have with Him. And it says that we are His people. And this can mean His countrymen, citizens of the kingdom of heaven, with God as our perfect King. But we are His people can also mean that we are God's family. We are related to Him. We are God's relatives. God wants to be our Father. God wants to be part of our family, our brother, our best friend. We can be part of the family of God, so we're talking about a close relationship, a close connection here, knowing the God of heaven up close in our heart, knowing the Father through His Son, Yeshua, the Messiah, knowing Yeshua as our best friend, as our Redeemer, and as our Lord. We are His people, but we are also the sheep of His pasture. Again, there's a connection here, a relationship. We are His sheep, but He is the good shepherd. But why does God say that we are sheep? One reason is because sheep tend to stray, as we tend to stray as well. Left to themselves, sheep wander off and they get in all sorts of trouble. Just as all of us have wandered off many times in our life and gotten into trouble. As Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. The other thing about sheep is that they need a shepherd. Sheep are totally defenseless. They cannot take care of themselves. They need a shepherd. We need a shepherd. We need someone to take care of us and to love us. And it's not a weakness for us to need our shepherd. It's a strength to know that we need God. That's a strength and not a weakness. So we must know that we are His sheep. That we must know that the Lord is our shepherd. This is what David said in Psalm 23, that the Lord is my shepherd. And today we know that Adonai Yeshua is the good shepherd that David talked about in that Psalm 23. And in John 10:10 through verse 11, Yeshua, our Messiah, said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly," or more to the full. "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep." Yeshua is our good shepherd. He gave his life for us. And he takes care of us. And he guides us. And he leads us. And we know the voice of our shepherd. And we need to follow his voice. Yeshua proved to us that he was that good shepherd when he died on that tree for our sins. And now, when we turn to the risen Messiah and trust him as our Redeemer and as our Lord, Psalm 103 becomes a reality in our life, because we know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Rejoice over our relationship with God. He's mishpacha. He's our family. We are God's family. Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5, speak to us about the great reputation and character of our God. It says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courtyards with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For Adonai is good, and his grace continues forever, and his faithfulness lasts throughout all the generations." The Lord is good. Think about God's goodness. God is perfect all the time. He has never sinned even once. And since Yeshua is part of that triune nature of God, part of that Godhead, we know that Yeshua never sinned at all. Imagine that, never sinning even once in thought or word or in deed. How many times have you sinned today in thought or word or deed? I'd be pretty surprised to find out that there was any of you here who hasn't done that. Never sinning even once in thought or word or deed. I like to think what it must have been growing up in the home with Yeshua being a big brother. Can you imagine that? You were his brothers, and he was your brother, and he had other brothers and sisters. I can hear his little brothers or sisters saying, "That goody two shoes never does anything wrong, does he?" No, he doesn't. But that's a reason to rejoice. The one who never sinned even once was the one who can take all of our punishment and take all of our sins from us. Thank you, Lord. Rejoice, for Adonai is good, and his mercy is everlasting. Aren't you glad our eternity doesn't stand on your goodness? Your eternity, my eternity, does not depend on or stand on your goodness. It stands on the goodness and mercy of Almighty God. Rejoice, for Adonai is good. His grace continues forever, and his faithfulness lasts throughout all the generations. Our sinful world is filled with lies. This whole world that we live in is filled with lies. And this world is largely run on lies. But God's truth will endure forever. As Yeshua said in Matthew 24 and verse 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away." Rejoice in the Lord this very day. Rejoice, he created you. He's able to take care of you. He loves you. Rejoice if you've put your faith in Yeshua the Messiah. God is your father, your brother, your best friend, your king. You are a citizen of heaven. and part of the family of God. Rejoice, for Adonai is good. Rejoice, because his mercy is everlasting. Rejoice, for his truth endures throughout all generations. Shout with joy, serve with joy, sing with joy, dance with joy. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord and step closer to the Lord with joy. So let's stand up again. Stand up again. Just remember, Joshua and the Israelites are going around seven times around Jericho. And on the seventh time, the Lord instructed them to shout for joy, to shout to the Lord your God, and the walls come tumbling down. We need to be a people who shout with joy. We need to be a people who rejoice in the Lord always. If you want those walls to break down in your life, in your children, in your family, all those walls, all those barriers, all those things that interfere with what God wants to take place in your life and in your family's life, then let's go ahead right now and shout for joy and break those chains of bondage, break down those walls. And then, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Woo, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let the walls come tumbling down. Let the walls come tumbling down. Let the walls come tumbling down. Break every chain. Break through those barriers, O Lord. Victory in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to share this message on rejoicing without losing my voice. It may be inhibited, but God is bigger than my voice, and God is bigger than every circumstance and situation. And the joy of the Lord is my strength, and He's your strength. And He'll give us the victory over sin, over death, over evil, over your weaknesses, over your flesh. He'll give you the victory. We serve a magnificent God, an awesome God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.